This is an audio summary for your IP 8999 course. The reading is Organization Performance Review, Chapter 8 of Recreate the Organization You Really Want by John R. Latham, published in 2016. This chapter explains how leaders use the four cornerstones of stakeholders, strategy, systems, and scorecard as the framework for periodic reviews that turn results into learning and action. Here is the summary. Latham begins by reminding us that we often treat strategy as a realistic plan, when in fact it is simply a hypothesis. He quotes a chief executive who admitted he used to think people would naturally follow him, that he could just communicate and everyone would jump in and make it happen, and learned the hard way that follow-through is required. Once you develop the strategy, run the deployment experiment, and measure the results, you are ready to study those results and learn what worked, what did not, and under what conditions. Periodic organization performance reviews serve two purposes. First, they help leaders track performance and progress and make adjustments to keep the organization on track, which Latham calls single-loop learning. Second, they provide opportunities to better understand the organization as a system and change the underlying design of the systems themselves, which is double-loop learning. The review process, which he abbreviates as OPR for Organization Performance Review, has four phases: alignment of inputs, analysis, dialogue and decisions, and follow-through. The first phase is alignment. Each of the four cornerstones provides a piece of the puzzle and helps clarify what individual results mean. The system's perspective is the integrating foundation for two reasons. First, all measures relate to systems, but not all measures relate directly to strategy or stakeholders. Second, systems are what we actually change in order to get different results, so the direct relationship between action and results lives in the linkage between systems and the scorecard. Alignment makes the connections between scorecard performance and the systems, strategy, and stakeholders explicit before anyone walks into the review meeting. The second phase is analysis, and it happens behind the scenes, before the meeting. Doing the technical analysis in advance allows a more thorough treatment of the data, permits extra research into areas that are underperforming, and lets the team triage a prioritized agenda, since leadership teams never have time to dive into every measure. Methods range from simple stoplight charts through descriptive statistics to advanced techniques like regression and structural equation modeling, and several methods are often applied to a single aspect of the organization. For organization performance, the analysis starts with each individual measure across three dimensions: the level of performance, the trend over time, and the comparison to relevant organizations. A stoplight approach categorizes each dimension as red for poor, yellow for caution, or green for good to excellent, with each category operationally defined so a spreadsheet can color code results automatically. The comparison dimension has three defined situations. If you are improving faster than the comparison organization, whether you are ahead or catching up, that is green. Keep doing what you are doing. If the comparison is currently behind you but improving faster, that is yellow, because it is only a matter of time until they pass you. The only remedy is learning to learn faster. And if you are behind and they are improving faster, that is red, the danger situation requiring action to turn performance around. The power of the method comes from reading the three lights together. A good level with an unfavorable trend and a worsening comparison signals impending trouble that the level alone would hide. Even a good level and a good trend can give a false sense of security if competitors are learning at a faster pace. Stoplights, however, say nothing about relationships between measures, so Latham adds systems diagrams. Many organizations simply roll lower-level metrics up into higher-level ones, which provides no insight into the organization as a system. Instead, overlay the stoplight results on a diagram of the system, so poor performance can be traced backward through the linkages to its source. This supports action plans that address root causes rather than treating symptoms. He walks through an extended scenario. Financial results, including sales, net income, and cash, are low. Tracing backward, repeat and referral business is below target. Behind that sits low customer perceived value. Customers buy once but do not return or refer. Two explanations emerge: a weak offerings menu, which research and development is already fixing, and low service quality. Service quality in turn traces to underperforming process improvement projects and to low workforce capability and capacity, which is itself driven by high employee turnover, driven by low employee satisfaction. The resulting theory: low employee satisfaction causes turnover, which degrades capability, which degrades service quality and improvement projects, which lowers perceived value, which suppresses repeat and referral business, which hurts the financials. Worse, low cash limits the ability to fix the workforce problems, so a reinforcing loop spirals downward. The leverage point in this story is employee satisfaction. Latham adds that visual analysis is often the best way to bring a cross-functional group to a shared understanding, with statistical modeling used to validate the system. Digital systems are making such analysis affordable for smaller organizations, though the promise of big data will keep eluding firms that lack an explicit theory and model of the business. The analysis phase also covers strategy deployment progress. A formal review of strategic initiatives keeps transformation on track, and initiatives must appear on the agendas of regular, frequent senior management forums, or implementation simply does not happen. Each project is rated on four interrelated dimensions: quality, meaning the project's defined contribution to the strategy; schedule, judged against the revised schedule rather than the original; cost, including manpower; and scope, where the rating reflects changes since the last adjustment, because scope creep is a chronic problem when executives have more ideas than resources. Since the four dimensions are interrelated, changing one moves the others. If you are behind schedule and committed to the original definition of success, you either accept a later date or add resources. Every project is also a hypothesis, expected to produce a specific result, so both its progress and its outcomes are learning opportunities. The third phase is dialogue and decisions. Latham defines dialogue as an open, frank, and professional interchange of ideas aimed at seeking meaning and greater understanding to maximize learning. The review must be a safe place where participants can explore ideas, however unconventional, without fear of being attacked. The leader's job is to role model respect, facilitate collaboration, and set behavioral norms. Challenging ideas is welcome. Indeed, it is the essence of rich dialogue, but the challenge must not demean the person and must come in the spirit of understanding. Latham illustrates the needed skill, balancing advocacy and inquiry, with an aviation example. Accident investigations have repeatedly found that someone in the cockpit had the right answer, but team dynamics kept it from being implemented, which led airlines to train crews to advocate their own ideas while humbly inquiring into the ideas of others. Findings are then translated into actions, usually single-loop refinements to how a project is being implemented, occasionally double-loop changes that re-examine underlying assumptions and redesign the system. The label matters less than knowing when to move beyond treating symptoms. The fourth phase is follow-through. What gets measured gets done, Latham notes, but only if someone with authority asks to see the measures and the progress on action plans. Successful follow-through requires a systematic approach with clear accountability and a schedule for reviewing changes at subsequent reviews, plus ongoing reflect and revise cycles between formal reviews. The chapter closes with the leader as organization architect. Role modeling advocacy balanced with inquiry, running reviews as a collaborative cross-functional enterprise group rather than a collection of functions, coaching personally, and reflecting on the review process itself. For your organizational assessment work, this chapter gives you a sharp diagnostic lens. Ask whether the organization's reviews trace results to root causes through an explicit system model, or merely react to symptoms one metric at a time. That is the end of the summary.